message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Say, I am blessed. Oh, you didn't mean it. Say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Say, I'm prosperous.
I'm prosperous.
I'm a blessed man.
I'm a blessed man.
Glory to God. All right, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you because your word is true, your word is light, your word is life. We trust in your word. We believe your word. We hold on to your word. We let our faith loose by the conviction we had in your word. Thank you because your word is all that we need to have our needs met. Thank you because your word is life. Thank you because your word carries within it the potentiality of all your abilities. So as we receive your word, faith is imparted. And as faith is imparted, we act and bring forth fruits of righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. How many of you here want to get better? You want to get better in your walk with God? You want to get better in your finances? You want to get better in every area of your life? How many of you, let me see your hands up. You want to get better, 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 better. Glory to God. That means I'm talking to the right people. How many of you here want to be prosperous? I mean, prosperous in all ways, in your health, in your finances, in your body. Are you hearing me? In your walk with God, you want to be prosperous. You want to be prosperous? So I'm talking to the right bunch, right? Glory to God. Now, because that may sound a little bit religious to... How many of you want to have money? Money. All right? You want to have money? Let me see your hands up. Uh-huh. I'm talking to the right bunch. I'm pastoring the right people, right? You believe in money? You believe you need money? You believe you can have it? Oh, glory to God. And now you have it. Glory to God. You have it. Say, I have it. I have abundant of it. In super abundant measure. Amen. Glory to God. Okay, how many of you here, you're young people, all right? You're not married yet, but you want to marry. Let me see your hands up. You want to marry? Say, I am married.
I am married.
All my needs are met.
All my needs are met.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Praise God. How many of you want to live healthy all your life? You want to live healthy all your life. Now release your faith. Say, I'm healthy.
I'm healthy.
I'm strong.
I'm strong.
In my old age,
I'm
still strong. The Bible says in Proverbs 4 verse 18, it says, the path of the just is like a shining light. Listen, you have to make up your mind that I'm going to get better. I'm not going to cope with the status quo. You have to make up your mind that even when I'm going to temporary places, I must not let that influence and give me a mindset. You have to make up your mind. You see, you have to believe right. You have to believe right so that you can have right experience. If you believe wrong, your experience will follow suit. If you believe, well, this life is just a necessary evil that we all have to partake in, we have to just struggle through life. No. You got to change your mind. You got to believe that God wants you to be fruitful in all ramifications. God wants you to succeed. God wants you to be successful. Listen, God was the first person to use the word success in scripture. Are you hearing me? He was the one. In Joshua 1 verse 8, because religious people will say, well, we're not pursuing success. We just want to be like God. Don't hide under that religious thought, religious mindset. Success, fruitfulness, same thing. And by the way, if you read John 15, you're going to see the master's displeasure at lack of fruitfulness and barrenness. He says he is the vine. He plants and he prunes the vine so that it can bring forth much fruit. And the one that is not bringing much fruit, what does it do? It casts it away. God is particular about fruitfulness. He doesn't want you to remain stagnant in one position for so long. No, it's never God's idea. God wants to increase you. God wants to move you to the next level. Say aloud, amen.
Amen.
You have to believe this. This is a reality. He that must come to God must first believe that he is. And he did not stop there. It's okay to believe that he is. And that's wonderful. That is the foundation. You must believe that he is. That means fellowship, relationship with the Father. You're pursuing relationship with him to get deeper. Beautiful. But you must also believe that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Say aloud, amen. You have to realize that your relationship with him is not just for relationship's sake. Even though as beautiful as it is that you savor on his grace and let his liquid love wash over you, you know, with joyfulness, you're serving him, all right? But listen, a lot of Christians, all right, in their relationship with God, they are not expecting anything. And they think it is noble not to expect anything. Can I be honest with you? It is good not to expect anything, but it is better to expect. Say loud, amen. Amen. God is a rewarder.
Yes,
he is. He is. So you have to know this. All right. So you see, fruitfulness is God's design. It's God's concept. Somebody say, well, if you're talking about fruitfulness, then let's talk about spirituality. Listen, one of the things you must get off your mind is to try to spiritualize everything. Don't spiritualize things. And don't get too smart, brain smart with everything. Like in our today's devotional, all right, it is normal for storm to happen. And it's natural for you to say, well, it's just normal. But not with Jesus. Come on, talk to me. So some things can be accepted as normal. By the way, what is normal? What is the definition of normal? What do you call normal? It's what you've been fed to assume to believe is normal over the years. It doesn't mean it's normal. For instance, let me give you an instance. The realm you belong to, the realm of the spirit that you belong to, the folks who live in there, there are some things you're doing here in this realm that is abnormal to them. For instance, if you, all through scriptures, I don't know if you read all through scriptures, it always looked like angels are impatient. Have you seen that? Did you read your Bible? Have you noticed they always look impatient? Okay, you came to visit somebody to tell them that the name of their son, the child they will be giving birth to, all right, his name shall be called Samson, they should not touch his head, he's going to save Israel and all that. And okay, they welcomed you. Before they will say, Jack, let them go and make you food on the inside. Say, Daniel, let's go to the kitchen and make you meal. Before they were done, you were gone. They were too slow. As far as the angels were concerned, they were too slow. All right, Jesus was talking in Galilee, all right, as he was about to leave. As he was talking, the Bible says the cloud received him out of their sight, all right, and everybody was gazing at him. They were having a nice time. Do you know how beautiful it is that somebody is talking and all of a sudden he's levitating? And everybody's looking, oh, I'm sure some people are just trying to take selfie. Having a nice moment. Oh, Jay, Uncle Jay is living to the sky. And then you just come and say, stop looking at him. The way you see him come. Can't you just let people enjoy their moments? And he comes and say, stop looking at him. The way you see him up, that's the same way we'll come back again. Oh, God. Why? Because you see, they appear very abnormal to us. So that means maybe what you consider normal is not normal. Okay, somebody has been believing God for a baby for many years, all right, and he's there and his wife is serving God, he's a priest. And then you come and you tell him that you will have baby. Naturally, he's supposed to first doubt, at least first think about it. And because he doubted, all of a sudden, you say, and you will not be able to speak again. Why? You see, they appear so impatient. They appear so abnormal. And guess what? That's the realm you belong. I want you to understand that sometimes your definition of normal might actually be abnormal. That has now become normal over the years. Okay, do you know that death, physical death, is not normal? I'm sure the first time Adam was growing old, he was wondering, what is this? And guess what? It has to take over 900 years before Adam actually experienced death. Because now it has become normal. Yeah, he's dead. Normal thing. It's not normal. So be careful what you call normal. You've been feeling a pain, and that pain has been going on. Don't say it's normal. Stop saying it's my gene. It's my genetic makeup. Stop the trash. What do you mean it's your gene? What are you talking about? So why do you have faith? Why are you a child of God? You can effect the change. Listen, you've got to start believing right if you want to have the right experiences. And that's what this teaching is all about. So, you see fantastic things, beg your pardon, all right, in scripture that speaks about the believer. But sometimes when you place these things side by side with the experiences of many in the faith, you always want to be tempted to give up. Because, all right, the scripture says A, their experiences are Z. Why? Why does it seem like faith is not working? Listen, let me tell you. One of the greatest teachers of faith I've ever known, his name is Kenneth E. Hagin. He wrote a book, Things to Do When Faith Seems to Fail. That means there's a possibility that sometimes your faith seems like it's not working. And I love Christianity because the Christian faith, Christianity is a faith of definite instruction. God will never leave you confused. There will always be something he will show you about what you're going through. Praise God forevermore. I said, praise God forevermore. There is nothing mysterious. And there is no mountain anywhere. Every man's ignorance is their mountain. There is no mountain anywhere. Think about this. Think about this. Once upon a time, malaria was a deadly disease. The same way you can think of any deadly disease today, like, let's say, coronavirus. That's the way malaria was. If you had malaria, they will ostracize you from the community. In fact, go and study. That is where they started this concept of GRE. You know, it's good now for you to say, I live in the GRE, government reserved area. We are living in the GRE like a big boy. It's like when you say you are living in GRE now, it looks like you are chilling with the big boys, right? Is that not what it means now? Yes. When we say, where are you living? I'm living in the GRE, government reserved area. Go and check the origination of that term, GRE. It is government reserved area for malaria people. Because they have been condemned to die. Because there was no cure for malaria. Alexander the Great in his 30s died. He was the strongest. This was a guy that believed that he was the son of Zeus. He died of malaria. All the European expatriates, you know, that came for expedition in Africa, they died of malaria. There was no cure for malaria. All most of our missionaries that brought Christianity to Africa, they died of malaria. There was no cure for malaria. Go and Google it. They died of malaria. They later found out the cure for malaria. So that means it is possible that if they had had cure for malaria, those who die wouldn't have died. So how long then will mankind live at the mercy of the knowledge of man? Come on, talk to me. You see, let me tell you, it's the information you've been fed with that makes you count certain things normal. For instance, the same anointing that heals headache is the same anointing that gives new heart. It is the same anointing that heals arthritis. Come on, talk to me. It is the same anointing that raised somebody up from the wheelchair. Same thing. But you've been schooled to assume that headache is a lesser healing. And getting someone up from the wheelchair or even raising the dead is a bigger miracle. Come on. It's mental models. It's mental preconditioning. I said all I've just said since morning to say this. Barrenness is not normal. In any shape, form, or fashion, no matter how you look at it. And you might have all the excuses for it, it still doesn't make sense. All right, there are churches that they close during when school is off. I'm like, are you kidding me? Nobody's. If I came here alone, I will preach. Close up. Have I preached to only you before? Eh? Answer me. And those that I used to do everlasting gospel, I can preach 3 hours. I can say it in his front. It will be dozing. I will slap him. Hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. He will say hallelujah. Hallelujah. He will start up a girl. Preach. Hiya. But How do you feel to hear that? Students are not, so some churches are closed. Some churches don't hold service. Are you kidding me? It's not normal. It's not normal. It makes no difference. Even if you have all the facts notwithstanding, it makes no difference. Listen, faith is not a coping mechanism. Faith is using divine tool of God to effect a desired change. Are you hearing me? You have to realize we are going to screw this thing until we touch this thing. Are you hearing me? We must get it tweaked. We must get a solution to this thing. We're going to stick on this thing. If this thing is the way people have seen it, that way churches are closed, it makes no difference. We're going to make a change. That's why I'm here. You see, you have to have that mindset. I've seen the first church close down. They sold it. I've seen another church close down. What is that? Are you kidding me? And you think it's normal? It's not normal. You see, be careful what you call normal. Be very careful. Be very careful what you call normal. Tell yourself, barrenness is not of God. I choose to be fruitful. So now if your faith is not working, Apostle Peter has a way out for you here. He says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. I love the word of God. So you mean, listen, can we trust the word of God?
Yes,
come on, talk to me. Can we trust the word of God?
Yes,
let's look at a few scriptures before we continue so that you know what I'm talking about. Let's check some scriptures. Oh, glory to God. The word of God can be trusted. The word of God can be trusted. Look at Psalms 34 and verse 19. Psalms 34 and verse 19. Quick, please. A quick one I want to do. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of how many of them? Verse 22. He says, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servant, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Nobody that trusts in him ever got disappointed. One of the first songs I got to know was when I used to hear my mom sing it. No, my mom is Baptist. She would say, since I believe in Jesus' name, I will never be disappointed. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Samuel 22 and verse 31. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 31. It says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. Can we trust the word of the Lord? He says, the word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust him. He is a buckler to them that trust him. Look at Psalms 12 and verse 6. He says, the words of the Lord are pure words. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of art, purified seven times. Do you understand this metaphor? That means, listen, this is what we call the refining process of minerals to prove its authenticity. If you claim something is a gold, for example, if it passes through fire and it comes out clean, it doesn't reduce in size and its weight. That means it is pure gold. If it has any other debris, those other debris, they will burn out. Come on, talk to me. So he's using that metaphor to tell you that the same way silver is tried in a furnace, he says the word of the Lord is they are pure word. That means it has been proven to always work and dependable. He says the same thing in Psalms 18 verse 30. He says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of God is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust him. Say aloud, amen. So you see, God's word can be trusted. It can. So when he tells you, go back to our anchor scripture. So when he tells you in 2 Peter 1 and verse 8, he says, for if these things be in you and abound. Okay. If God says this, so what are these things? What are these things? They will make you that you shall never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But he that lacketh these things. So if somebody lacks these things, he is blind and cannot see far off. He got no vision. And look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, come on now. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, can you imagine? Somebody say, if. That's the condition. If you do these things, you shall never fall. I can never fail. I can never fail. That's the only way I go. Full of the Spirit when I step into the place. Come on. That's the only way. I have the life of God in me. I'm a miracle. You see that? He says, if you do these things, so that means it is possible not to fail. Oh, now I know you've listened to motivations. Listen, look up. It's either we accept God's word as true. Let God be true and every man a lie. Some say, but sometimes you will fail. Mm-mm, you did not fail. You only recognize ways that didn't work. You see, it's possible not to fail. I say it's possible not to fail. I mean, take for example, an old covenant man called David. He never lost a war. I mean, it's normal to say, sometimes you can have the blue days. I said, David never lost a war. Explain that. All right, DY, DX. All right, X equals David. Never lost a war. Oh yeah, explain. Find X. Explain. Maybe you did geography. Oh yeah, explain. Explain. Oh yeah, drop the map. Explain to me. He never lost a war. Think about that. Maybe you don't understand what I'm talking about. So, it is possible never to fail. Look, see, I wish you can understand what I'm talking about. That means I want you to know, like you know. See, there's something called the law of inner sabotage. And that law says that no matter how beautiful the parameters on ground seems to produce certain results, if there's any strand of unbelief or doubt in your subconscious, chances are you will fail in that venture. So therefore, the first thing in your any adventure of faith is to first solidify a solid conviction, what Brackett Moore calls fully persuaded. You must be fully persuaded. There must be, listen, you must get to that point where you believe that this is what God says and I'm going to stick to it. And I'm going to stick to it. So it is possible not to fail. And it's going to tell you what those things are. So let's back off to verse 5 to see what those things are. We're going to read down through to verse 10. Come on, give it to me, verse 5. He says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. Come on, fast, verse 6. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Come on, talk to me. For if these things, those things he mentions, he says, if they are in you and they are in abounding measure, if they are in you and they are replete, he says, they will make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to verse 5 again. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Now, the word hard here, let me tell you, the word hard here actually appeared, hard in scripture, hard, A-D-A-A-D, actually appeared 33 times. And in the Hebrew, many times it appears as yesaph, Y-A-S-A-P-H. But in this particular, and including the yourself and what you see even in the Greek, or even in the Septuagint, what they all mean means like to continue something. To keep continuing doing something, like hard. Like you know, hard. But in this particular scripture, the word adie was totally different. The Greek word is epikorigio. And you see, let me just, you know, I've told you that in Bible interpretation, sometimes there are what we call historical context to certain things. Some words are borrowed. And those words sometimes originate or they are coined from an event or situation or prevailing situation of that time. I'm not saying there are some words that we've coined in Nigeria, for example. I remember when I was, many years ago, I heard, not sure if it's true, but I guess it's true, that Wolesu Inka included some words. They call it figri. All right? Figri. A stage where somebody is old and he has to walk with stick. But it's actually a derivative from a Yoruba word that means figiri. Means somebody is walking with stick. All right? So, English students, are there English students here? There are some words that can be borrowed and be smuggled into the lexicon. Right? Come on, talk to me. And the origin of those words are usually, a precipitation from what happened in the circumstance that was prevalent at that moment. Do you understand? Like virtue, for instance, in first service, I showed them the origination, the etymology of that word virtue was from a Latin word, and in Roman, the Roman people used to use that word virtue. They got it from the word virtus, V-I-R-T-U-S. The etymology of that word is virtus, and it's actually from the word V-I-R. And that word V-I-R in Latin means man. So virtue was actually coined to represent everything that makes a man complete. Being a man of valor and a man of moral rectitude. That's where the word... So sometimes a word can be used, but when you dig deep to find the etymology of that word, you get a better, broader knowledge. So for here now, the word hard, you can just skip through it hard. What is hard now? But the word hard is epikorigo. And listen, korigo is actually a title. A title given to a sponsor. Now, unfortunately, let me give you the gist. In those days, if they're having a play in their, maybe an amphitheater, you see all these movies, right? All these ancient Roman empire, you understand? Maybe they're having a party or everybody will come to the arena. And then they will just throw a party. Amen. Now, when organizing a party or a play of some kind, it could be korigo, you know, choreography. Come on. Maybe they are having a play about Zeus or one of those their goddess or gods. Are you listening to me? So now, after they have made all the things they need available, then they will now go and find a korigo. Someone they will give that title. It's like saying you're looking for the chairperson of the occasion. But this time around, he's a chief sponsor. They will call him the chief sponsor. Now, this chief sponsor, don't forget, is not coming to meet the need in that sense. He is coming to supply super abundantly above the need. So, the word adia means to lavishly supply. Imagine if you want to, imagine you are planning your wedding. All right, then Mark Zuckerberg now becomes the sponsor of that wedding. Eh? Or Elon Musk is now the sponsor. Amen. Amen. All right, what will happen? You spend honeymoon in the moon itself. Yes, because that's truth. He has, apart from Tesla, I'm sure you know, he's one responsible for space jets. Eh? Uh-huh. He has Tesla, fine, but he's also... So, do you get what I'm saying? So, that kind of person, he is going to sponsor super lavishly. Do you get it? So, now, when he says hard to your faith, what it means is supply abundantly to your faith in abundant measure. Virtue. So, I look at virtue in first service. Then he says... To virtue, knowledge. I look at that one too in first service. But in second service, we'll be looking at some other things. Look at it. Anyway, let's just iterate these things so that you can know them. There are seven of them that it says we should add to our faith. So if your faith perhaps, all right, is not working and all of that, or you want to be, or it's working and you want more productivity, these are the things Peter says to add to your faith. Your Christian faith. To become a fruitful Christian. Number one is virtue. Two is knowledge. Three is temperance. Four is patience. Five is godliness. Six is brotherly kindness. Seven is charity. We're going to look at all these things one after the other. Glory to God. So let's go into this second service. Oh, number one, temperance. Or better put, number three, temperance. Because I've spoken about virtue and knowledge in first service. So make sure you get first service tape. Praise God forevermore. Now, number three is temperance. What does Merriam-Webster say about temperance? You know, that's my best online dictionary. All right. Merriam-Webster dictionary says, moderation in action, thought or feeling, restraint. That's the synonym, restraint. Habitual moderation in the indulgence of the appetites or passions. Wikipedia says, this one is a long one, but you have to listen to it. Temperance in its modern use is defined as moderation or voluntary self-restraint. That's the operative word. Voluntary self-restraint. It is typically described in the terms of what an individual voluntarily refrains from doing. This includes restraint from revenge by practicing nonviolence and forgiveness, restraint from arrogance by practicing humility and modesty, restraint from excesses such as extravagant luxury or splurging, and restraint from rage or craving by practicing calmness and self-control. That's the operative word. Someone says self-control. So temperance means self-control. So the most popular synonym of temperance is self-control. No wonder some translations too gave us as self-control. Let me read some translations to you. 2 Peter 1:6 says, and to knowledge temperance. But in NET, New English Translation, it says, and in knowledge self-control. New Heart English Bible. And in knowledge self-control. And in self-control patience. And in patience godliness. Web Bible, WEB version. And in knowledge, self-control. And in self-control, perseverance. So he even called patience perseverance. The powerful synonyms. We'll look into that too, if time permits. So Paul is helping us, Peter, beg your pardon, is helping us see that one of the things that might be responsible for why your faith has not been operative as it ought to is perhaps you lacked temperance. You are not temperate. And that self-control is not only limited to the moral aspect of morality. But, you see, it has to do with mastery. That's the right word. Somebody say mastery. In fact, the same root word for temperance is what Paul used when he was teaching about going high for the mark of God. Going for the prize. He uses an allegory of a man that was on a race. Let me give it to you. 2 Corinthians. It was written in the church in Corinth. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 24. He says, I have to run now. Time is fast spent. Praise God. I have to run now. I don't know. Time goes fast when people are enjoying or having fun. Are we having fun? Good, 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 good. And verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. Verse 25. 1 Corinthians 10:25. He says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. See temperate there again? He has self-control. Now he's not telling you now that, look, how many of you know about race now? He now says, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Right? Yeah. All these beauty pageants that they go, all right, it's not a corruptible crown. Yeah. He says, they do this for a corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. Do you get what he's saying here? He's trying to explain to you that if they will exercise so much temperance. Listen, look up. When, I don't know about football, and I'm not shy to say this, I don't watch football. I don't even know footballers. Not concerned. But let me ask you, those of you that are football gurus there, when, you watch football? Okay, all right. Those of you that watch football, which year next are they going to do another English Premier League, or what did they call that thing? Oh yeah, I know you. Tell me. Which year again are they going to do another? I think it's for 4 years, right? Yes. World Cup is for 4 years. Next year. Now, next year, but do you know that people that will run for next year, they started training? Okay, this year. All right. Do you know that they've been training for long? Come on, talk to me. Somebody that will run 100 meter race, he trains for years for that singular race. To obtain a corruptible crown. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I remember I've told you this story before when I was in university. Some guys say they want MTN and say they want to give 5 million naira to people who they say MTN Mata Marathon race. 5 million naira. So everybody, of course, 5 million naira was some good money then too, anyway. So everybody was just like, 5 million. Oh, 5 million. I was looking at them. Now I went to sport to pray. Because the thing is, the people you want to go and compete with, they've been running for 10 years. They've been practicing. All the guys in the hostel that went, people that went for that marathon, they already came back since around to 7 a.m. Around 7 a.m. or thereabout, they came back. They've chose the winners already. Some are coming back around past 6 in the evening. They are still coming. 5 million. Yeah. That's after over 10 hours. So he says, so Paul is saying, imagine people, they are temperate. That means they have learned to be, to have self-restraint. My greatest author by the name E.W. Kenyon, he makes a statement, and I want to quote it to you. He says, a man who can govern his temper, his tongue, and his appetite, though he has but a mediocre ability, is bound to get to the top. So that tells you, you know, when I read this thing, 2000, and I can't remember, like 10, 7 or 8 years ago when I read this in his book. The title of the Bible, that book is Signs on Your Roadmap to Success. When I read this, then it dawned on me that talent is overrated. You didn't get what I just said. Maybe what we call talent is not even actually talent. Maybe temperance in itself is the talent. Oh, you didn't get it. You didn't get it. See, that means, look up, everybody, look up. You know, somebody was showing me one time how that people who go for football and all that, that there's a way they get medicals who give them instruction of what they should subject themselves to a week before the football. That will make them light. I don't know how to explain it. They said so that there would not be too much air on this part of your body. They have a way of hacking it. You know, hack. They will hack it in a way that that person will function at their best within that week of Olympics. You didn't get what I'm saying. So people will subject themselves. Haven't you seen ladies, just because they want a guy to love them, they will drink hot water and lime in the morning so that their stomach will be, all right? They will subject themselves. It is called temperance. Temperance. You need to add that to your faith. See, a lot of people, listen, a lot of people have not gained mastery. See, faith is a skill. And you can learn it. Temperance. See, when we teach faith, all right, we're not teaching you something new from the blues. People all over the world are exercising faith, all right? Faith is a universal substance. The only difference is that your own is towards God. Theirs is towards their ability or towards something else. That's all. That's the difference. The difference is the source. The difference is the one to whom you are reposing that faith to. That's all. Faith is what is universal. Haven't you seen people tell stories of how they try something again and again until they eat it after several trials and they are not Christians? Is that not faith? So if people in that category, in that place, in that world without God could produce so much results, don't give the excuse for producing barrenness. Say after me, I am fruitful. You've got to be fruitful. So Peter tells you, add to your faith, temperance. Be temperate in all things. And that's the example Paul was saying. He says, look, I put my body under. Look at it. Verse 26, he says, I therefore so run, verse 26, not as uncertainly, so I fight, not as one that beats the air. Have you seen people who learn boxing? They are boxing air. Have you been to where they are learning before? Is it not air? Some of you are wondering now. Even the football you are watching, is it not air? T.L. Osborne will say, all these people crazy, they put hair in the skin and running after it, and the whole world go watch after him. Is it not hair they put inside skin? He says, all right, when you see a boxer, boom, boom, he's fighting, he's learning, he's blowing hair. All right, he now says, but I keep under my body. I keep. That means I exercise temperance over my body. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. So, that word cast away there is disqualified. Doesn't mean that I lose his salvation. All right. Don't forget the context there is about price. Abi, they are running for a price. Talk to me now. It's like the Christian race. We are running for a price. It doesn't mean that you were not an athlete. You are still an athlete, but you not everybody will win the prize. So he's telling you now that in heaven we are going to have prize. Why do you think when we got born again, why do you think we are serious with the kingdom work? Or other bodies? It's for the prize. There's prize. And that one does not come by grace. Eh? That one come by work. Hard work. So he says, I put under my body. Listen, let me stop with this. I've taught you this before. That you see, the church has emphasized holiness, all right, majorly in the moral rectitude perspective. One day I'll do another teaching on this to help you see. Look, give me Romans 12. Listen, give me Hebrews 12. Listen, we are keeping under our body, that means to perfect it. I don't only mean keeping under your body, not to fornicate. That's not what I'm talking about. And even though that is inclusive, I'm talking about certain things that are actually lawful, but you choose to deprive yourself of. Because of your Christian testimony, because of the race set before you. The Bible calls it weight. They are not sinful in themselves. Look at it. Hebrews 12, it says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight. Somebody say every weight. Let me ask you, is it wrong to wear a thick leather jacket for a 100-meter race? Nobody will penalize you for it. But is it okay? Will it help you fulfill your race? Now, if you are still arguing about what is good and what is right, you are making fool of yourself. Okay, imagine they say, okay, we have 100-meter race and you were chosen among those. And then you read all the rules. Nothing spoken about what to wear and not to wear. Then you appear for the 100-meter race with Timberland. Do they still have Timberland again? Okay, because those days when we were small, if you're wearing Timberland, you're a big boy. I used to, okay? There's another one, Cat. I don't know if you know Cat. Cat, all right. Imagine you now wore Timberland with your pencil jean, and then you now wore jean jacket. Inside, you put like 24-carat gold chain with your golden teeth. You put golden teeth that are very heavy. You have added weight naturally, supernaturally. Then you appear there. I'm running for 100-meter race to say, waiting. And somebody say, why are you dressing like this? Waiting. You're inside the law. Okay, anybody can dress anyhow. You can't be asking me that I should not dress the way I like. You can dress the way you like, but don't forget, the way you dressed, will you be able to run that race with that dress? When they say on your mark, set, by the time you are running, your shoe is pulling you back. Those weights are moving you. Some other persons have run, pew. Go and check the technology behind the shoe they use in running race. Even this ballet. The technology behind it is so that you'll be light. Somebody was telling me, he said, do you know that those people who practice and they run 100-meter race, those people, those splinter, he said, they don't use new shoes on the day of the event. I was like, wow, tell me some more. He says, because they prefer to use the shoe that they've been using in training, even though it is dirty or it is already getting worn out. I said, but that will not make them look smart now. He says, okay, who smartness look help? The idea is to win. Oh, you didn't get it. And I was like, ho, 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 ho. That's a teaching on our own, on another dimension. I'm helping you see how temperance. Look up, everybody. Some of you are students, all right? The work it requires, to say, I will make sure I attend all my lectures. Even if it's under the tree, we are having it with sun. Even if there is no, you see, that it's some degree of temperance, being temperate. You need to add that to your faith. If you want your faith to produce, are you learning something? Looks like I'm preaching the law, Abby. Praise God forevermore. Let me end with this. All right, let's go back there. 2 Peter 1 and verse 8. If these things be in you. Now, drop off back to verse 5. Verse 5. He says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. That's moral excellence. And to virtue, knowledge. We've spoken about that. And to knowledge, temperance. Somebody say temperance. That's self-control. Somebody say self-control. And to temperance, patience. Another one there, patience. Those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. It says, be followers of them who through faith and patience. Alright, so patience there is not ants akimbo. Mm-mm. The word patience there, the Greek word, it means constancy. Alright, it means sticking to the plan even when the wind is blowing. That's the meaning of patience. And your patience will be tried. Some people, all right, we live in a world where our faith is too fickle. And they say it's not working. Why? You've not added patience to it. Constancy. I wish I can get a message translation of James 1 verse 2. Can you project it? Is it possible? You don't have it. Give me James 1 verse 2. Hallelujah. He says, consider it a great joy. Count it so. All right. It means to account it as joy. My brothers, whenever you experience various trials, verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces, so he uses the word endurance in this translation. It's the same word patience. Some translation says constancy, patience. So listen, so what happens is that your faith will produce patience, because when your faith is being tried, it produces patience. That means, look up, everybody, look up. All right, you're applying your faith on something and it's not yielding results, you don't quit. So you keep doing the right thing even when it's not yielding the expected results yet. As long as you have the precise, accurate, all the rounded knowledge you require about getting that change. So the constancy there is keep doing the right thing. Come on. See, let me tell you. Ever wondered why people in the world understand this principle so much? Let me give you an example. 20 years ago, if you saw a movie and you saw two ladies kissing in that movie, you would scream, "What? What is this?" No! You off the phone, the movie, you remove the cassette. Those times there were no all this. You remove the cassette. You're like, "What? Abomination." 10 years later, if you see the same movie, you say, "Ha! They should take this scene away, I beg. What's this nonsense?" 5 years later, if you see the same movie, you see same scene in another movie, you feel like, "Ah, they won't start this their nonsense again." Ah, now wow. 5 years later, You see another movie where you see two ladies kissing in the movie, you feel like, see them, see their head. What do you notice is happening? Your reaction is what? It's becoming milder, right? People in the world don't send you. Because they know that even if the whole world is against an idea they are pushing, they believe that as long as they keep pushing it, one thing is certain, the environment will conform to their ideology. So they don't care that. Shebi, you see, there was a time, all right, people like Bob Risky cannot come out, but now he's celebrated. It's not what you call celebrity. But what is propagating, does it make sense? There was once upon a time that if you had out of wedlock pregnancy, the whole village will shame you. But now, somebody has done the same thing, but she celebrated. Abi, is Rihanna not a celebrity? Yeah. Answer me now. Why are you guys looking at me like that? Is he not a celebrity now? Is he married? Is she married? Does she know her pregnancy now? And is she not still twerking with it on social media? Or is she not having followers? You see, did you get what I'm saying? Because the world knows that. Listen, look up, look up. The world knows. That's why Jesus said the children of light. He said the children of the darkness, they are smarter than the children of light. Because they have understood that, look up, look up. This is where I'm going. We are teaching faith here. See, let me tell you, this is what I'm called to teach. Faith. Primarily. Let me tell you something. Look up. So it means that once you have ascertained God's will about something, you will keep at it. Even if all the circumstance around you looks not like it, keep at it. It will only take time. Everything around you will adjust to it. All right? Once upon a time, it was crazy to hear gay, lesbian. Now they have a community. In some countries, they have special preference. They have preferential treatments. Some people, all right, a lady friend of mine in the U.S. was talking to me some weeks ago, and she told me that she mentioned the name of one rich man stinkingly. When somebody is, if I hear somebody is rich, you know that person is rich. If me, I tell you somebody is rich. Somebody is rich. The guy, she told me the guy is rich, and as the guy was about to die, the guy said he gives 85% of all his money to the LGBTQ community. What does that tell you? That tells you that the world knows that it's just noise making. The physical world is just the force of faith. We make everything to look like it. Time is only trying to catch up with it. For some time, it might take 2 years. It might take 1 year. It might take 10 years. But if there's constancy, if you had patience, constancy to your faith, it will produce. I say it will produce. It will produce. It will produce. If you add constancy, that's the meaning of patience there. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You know, let me read it to you from, does somebody have Message translation? You have it? Give it to me, let me see. He says, consider it a shared gift, friends. When tests and challenges come at you from all sides, you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into open and shows its true colors. Is that true? Is that true? Challenges exposes people's faith life. It now says in verse 4, it says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I think it's the Living Bible, TLB. He says, don't try to get out of anything. Is it here? It's not here. Eh? His message. Uh-huh. So which one is now this one? Let me use your sir. Uh-huh. He says, consider it a shared gift, friends. When you test challenges come at you on one side, You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into open and shows its true color. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Come on. You didn't get it. Don't, you know, this is the, do you know this is the reason, this is the reason why a lot of people's faith don't produce. They got it, it's not working, like Bishop Oyedepo will say, oh, they find another one. Oh, they get it, it's not working, oh, they find another one. For example, and I'm not saying this, don't let me use that one as an example. But me, I shall know. Anything that will make a church close. Ah. Is not God. Did you hear what I said? It's not God. Don't say, hi, Bible, there is no people. There's no people. Are you not a student? Why didn't you go home? Saying, but I just want to. You think you are the one that just want to? Is God? Is do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. And don't say after service, don't say, hey, Pastor, I cannot go home now. You'll be amazed. Somebody will crawl from Kotangora down here and say, I want to start playing. You see, let me tell you, look, what I'm saying in essence is this. Look up. Faith stands like this. Come rain, come shine. Because it knows that in no time, as long as it keeps at it, the world will conform. The world around it will conform. That's what I'm saying, that people in the world are living in faith. Is it not faith for someone to be pushing a stupid ideology that does not make sense? But irrespective of people bashing them, dragging them on Twitter, they don't care. They still kept at it. Now the world is getting milder. Don't you know that our church is not that they are gay church in developed countries? Do you get what I'm saying? It's constancy, patience, never giving up. So now if they do that for negative, you know, we have respect for negative things too much in this world. He says, look at it. He says, so don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work. So you become mature and well developed, not deficient in any way. Thank you, sir. So you don't become deficient in any way. This is faith. So Apostle Peter says, go back to Apostle Peter again. Are you learning something at all? I tried this business, Pastor. I don't know why. It thing did not work. Try it again. And it thing did not work again. Try it again. And I don't know why it's not work. Okay, sit down, get knowledge. Study, find out. That's why I talk about virtue. How to virtue what? Knowledge. Do your consultation. Ask questions. Get all the facts. Jesus says, Bible says, by wisdom, all right, a house is built. Then through knowledge, it is filled with pleasures, with good things. Jesus says, who amongst you wants to build a house? I think that's Luke 14:28. Who amongst you wants to build a house that will not first sit down and calculate? That's planning. Get all the informations. And then launch out again. If it not work, do it again. Let me ask you, have you seen women who everything they are sitting that is in front of them, that they are selling, chewing gum, ting-ting, and all of that? How many of you went to secondary school in your home, and then you know some women that are selling certain things, and they've been selling it since you were small? And everything in front of them that they're selling is not up to 10,000 naira altogether. Come on. And they are still there for many years. And you are wondering, how much are they earning? Let me tell you the solution, the question, the point is this. Look, there is something in them telling them that one day I will break through in this thing. Guess what? Some of them, till they die, they don't eventually have the breakthrough. It may now be later on, one of their sons will now come back and say, let's buy him a container, let's buy mommy a container, and then they did get the breakthrough eventually. Keep at it. You keep at it. I don't think Albert Einstein was a Christian. He was just a Jewish guy. And 99, do you know what it means? How many times did he try that incandescent light? 999. What? Like he tried this one, he failed. Tried this one, he failed. A very good friend of mine, architect, was sharing with me. He says, do I know what age was Colonel Sanders when he began? Everybody now is going to Kentucky Fried Chicken. Abby? KFC. That man was in his 70s when he started that business. And there's nothing in KFC. Shebi, you with your korokoro eye, they don't do double road now, but with your korokoro eye, start watching how real estate starts going up in this place. Start watching the, it's because in your head, I feel like, I can't stay in KFC. I can't stay in 20 years, because what happened to Ogun State is happening gradually here. You'll be in Ogun State, you know you are in Lagos. You think you are in Lagos. It's in the next 20 years now, you see. You start seeing people will be leaving Abuja now. Companies, because the kind of tax on their life in Abuja. Is that not what is happening in Ogun State? 2021, 2022, is Ogun State not the highest state with the highest GDP in Nigeria? I'm giving you facts here. Ogun State, highest GDP. What happened? Sumal left Lagos. All of them are moving to, because they have free land, cheap land, electricity is free. Did you get what I'm saying here? But you now, you feel you're getting your degree. Let me tell you, there are many degree holders out there. Carrying file up and down. You better sit down. Because I don't know, some people I don't know, they are going home. And when you get home, you become the chief master manager of DSTV remotes. You are the one that control the remote in the house. No, it's Nickelodeon. No, it's African Magic. No. African Magic Igbo. And then you will yawn from morning to night. You don't know that you are wasting time, and waste of time is waste of life. How about if you cut a path? You find a path. Now everywhere is calm, all right? You find a serene place in your room, no noise. Pray this thing out. There's this treasure. Pray this thing out. And then stick to it. Stick to it. You do stick to it. Huh? A big amen to somebody. Amen. Were you blessed? This is faith. This is faith. This is faith. I said, this is faith. I said, this is faith. All right. Came to Kefi and everywhere. Look, I got. All right. All those. That time, this place, bush. See, look, I am the light. Yes. If you go a place and it's darkness, just give time. Light. Because, see. In fact, when the Bible says, in him was light, and the light was the light of men, I'll translate, E.W. Kenyon says, and the light was the civilization of men. Go and check history. Everywhere the gospel entered, civilization entered. All the places of the world where the gospel has not entered, they are still in darkness. Everywhere they restrict the gospel, check their lifestyle there. Go to Asian countries and those countries where they did not allow the gospel. Go and see how they are living. Check communist communities. Communist governments. See how they are living there. Go and see the human relationship. Look at how terrible it is. Go and check. And look at you. You are the custodian of that gospel. The Spirit of God lives in you. The faith of God is in you. So Peter is saying, now you need to add to that faith patience. He says, when you do this, you will not be barren. He says, you will be fruitful. He says, if you do these things, verse 10, he says, you will not fall. Did you learn something? Are you taking actions afterwards? Will this bear fruit in you? Father, we thank you for this. Lord, I pray that everyone here, and those that will be listening afterwards, as they hear this, it will spur in them faith to act upon and bring forth fruits of righteousness, that we might be established in this. in Jesus' name. And it all shout a big
amen.
Thank you.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.